This is KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. I am Leo Baybue, and we have a special edition of what we call our Wandering Nature News, co-hosted by Michaela Rice, naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park. Michaela, would you like to introduce what we have on tap today?
Well, hello, everyone. We have the beautiful, lovely Shelley Getten with us today. Local poet, I suppose, artist, poet, poist. What? How do you describe poet and artist combined?
Oh.
No, we are wandering into some more art. We maybe you remembered me mentioning how we were going to have a poetry reading in Duluth last week, and so the creative energy is flowing. And today, Shelley will be reading some special poems of hers, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on the North Shore after.
I think I just wanted to recognize that both Michaela and I kind of conspired independently and then together about having Shelley on, because Shelley has, in 2024, released a wonderful collection of poems. There are over 50 poems in here, Shelley, of cows and crows. Pretty amazing piece of work. And I know you for a number of years, Shelley, as not just a poet, somebody who works in education, a woodblock print artist, an organizer of other folks who enjoy writing and reading to one another, the North Shore Poets from the library here in Two Harbors. And you have a chap book that goes all the way back to like 2005 called Agate. So you've been at this quite some time.
I have.
So we're going to be ruffling some pages as Shelley tries to find the ideal poem for the moment. Would you like to start us off with something?
Sure. I'll say the title of the book is called Of Cows and Crows, and it's been in the making for decades. I just knew I had to get this book published so I could move on to other books. And Noden Press, when I sent the manuscript, called me and found out that I was a printmaker as well. So they offered me the illustration position as well. And so I was very excited to do illustrations, both cover art and internal art, because that's not something normally you get to do if you're a writer.
Shelley, before we continue, will you just tell our readers, or our listeners actually, who you are really quick and like maybe how this book came to be?
Yeah, my family and I have been living up here in the North Shore since 2008. But I grew up on a farm in central Minnesota, and my parents had 160 acres. And these poems have just been really important to me because they do depict that connection to nature and how it helps us. And, you know, it's the time period of my kind of girlhood, coming of age. It's a really difficult time in any young person's life. And I think that it kind of goes to how the animals and nature itself, the surroundings, were really my refuge when I felt a lot of upheaval in my life. So actually, I'll start with a poem that kind of points to that. It was also very lonely when we first moved to the farm. I think I was in fourth grade. So this first poem I'll read is called Of Cows. Her name was Molly, the curly-haired Hereford, who allowed me to hop on her back as she drank from the trough. We bought a small herd for the farm, each of the cows gentle as they pushed slobbering snouts into my palm, extended long tongues to lick fingers. It was the year I turned 10, and for the first time since the move, I found myself surrounded by friends.
Wow, your peer group was four-legged.
Yes.
I can feel the stickiness from cow saliva. I feel like ruminants have really sticky saliva, and I can just hear that.
They have prickly tongues, too, like really rough tongues. So, yeah, you get very cleansed if they're going to
try to give you a bath.
Yeah.
If folks are just tuning in, we have our Wandering Nature News, Leo and Michaela, joined today by Shelley Getten, Two Harbors area author, poet, and she wrote Of Cows and Crows and had it published And who is the publisher again?
Noden Press of Minneapolis.
Okay. And this was just published as late as this fall?
September.
Okay.
Yeah, I think September 25th it came out. And yeah, I was really excited to get accepted by Noden because I have friends from being in the poetry world so long who have beautiful books from that publisher. And it was really great working with them, too. I hadn't done a full-length manuscript or book yet. And so I had an editor as well, and they were just wonderful to work with. It was a lot of work, back and forth.
A lot of work, but the actual back and forth exceeded your expectations.
Absolutely.
Wow. Would we want to read another? I just wanted to give folks a heads up. I'm really oblivious sometimes, and I'm shuffling papers, and I'll try to turn my mic down while the reading is going on. It's all about the words on the page, but you hearing them, so I don't want to distract anyone. Thanks, Shelley.
Sure. Yeah, so I read the one about the cows, and some people might have heard some of these poems. I've been reading them for a while in that manuscript form on KTWH and at the Cabin Fever Reliever when I've done that. So this is a newer one, though. I was trying to add a few more things into the book. I just wanted to round out some of the sections. It didn't have sections to begin with, but my publisher said, well, I want artwork for the sections. And I said, it doesn't have sections. And he said, well, it does now. So I had to go back to the drawing board.
That was news to you, huh?
Yeah, I kind of restructured a lot of things. I don't know how much I changed the order, but I did add a few more poems because I thought we had all these really interesting animals, both domestic and wild. Like my mom had gone to, you know, school for biology and wanted to, you know, be a vet or something at some point. But she would take in anything that was hurt. So we would always be nursing these things back to health. And this little creature that one of our farmhands brought in wasn't hurt at all. He just got separated from his family. So we had this little tiny raccoon and his name was Bandit. And we didn't really cage him or anything. He just stayed with us and, you know, left when he felt like it. And in the fall, he went off to go, I don't know if they hibernate fully, but he went off in the fall. And well, I'll read the poem and you can hear the story. Bandit. How quickly we bonded as you soaked small bits of white bread in a bowl of milk. Tiny black fingers open, close around wet food, then lifted into your mouth. You were carried like a baby or balanced on my shoulder wherever I went. When I put you down to walk, you screamed like a human child, afraid you would be left behind again. At night, you curled around my head, nestled in my hair, a furry ball of gray and black. You purred like a cat, played like a dog, learned quickly when I taught you to hunt for meals in the creek. In a few short weeks, you were the size of a schnauzer and started sleeping outside in the branches of the cottonwood tree. Too heavy to hold, you still loved to be cuddled. When the cat scratched your eye, you sat while Mom nursed your wound. Late fall, you left on your own to find a place to hibernate. In spring, Mom witnessed a raccoon marching by with youngsters trailing. She swears it was you, showing your kits where you were raised. We play along with her story because we'd like to think it's true.
Wow. Interaction between species that don't necessarily cohabitate very often. And I'm just curious, you said your mom was a biologist by training?
Well,
somewhat?
She didn't finish school. She met my dad.
Okay. It just begged the question of whether your mom was really thoughtful about not letting you try to make it, to anthropomorphize your, you know, your hanging out with Bandit so that you would try to condition Bandit to be more domestic animal.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't have bothered her at all. Like we had pigeons in the house. We had all kinds of things we brought in. But no, Bandit kind of just did his own thing. And I don't know, maybe that was more me that wanted him to be, you know, wild and
okay.
Be able to, I wanted to train him to go back to nature. So that's why I brought him.
You wanted that to happen. That
yeah, I really wanted that to happen. Okay. And I think he was okay.
Cool. Any thoughts on that? We often talk about anthropomorphizing our creatures of the forest and fields, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And involved in wildlife rehab, I'm aware of the question that Leo brought up. We don't want to habituate animals, but I'm guessing, you know, the mentality when Shelley grew up was a little different, especially in rehab. You know, it was probably just about having that little raccoon kit, you know, have a warm place to sleep, essentially. And
right.
You know, but I admire Shelley for her understanding that Bandit was going to be better off out in the forest and not with her, even though we want and just appreciate these bonds that we do have with animals. We know that they're ephemeral, that they have to, that they will go on to do better things, hopefully. So, yeah. I think it's a beautiful poem.
Thank you.
I second that and wonder where you'd like to head verse-wise now, Shelley.
I'm trying to think. Let's see.
We can edit out the indecision.
Well, okay.
There's so many choices, aren't there?
No, I was debating whether to read River. It is such a poem of how nature heals us, or you know, it is the places where water was on the farm were really places of healing, places of refuge for me. Like, I would just always go down to the creek, Mayhew Creek in Stock Rapids. And incidentally, it's the location of the new Stock Rapids Rice High School. Our farm was raised and sold to the high school. And I think they were going to build an outdoor classroom down there.
Wow.
So I'd be interested to go back and see if that's there or not yet.
With that wonderful description as a prelude, we can't help but hear River, I think, Shelley.
All right, here it goes. It's a little bit long, but it's in a form called a high bun. So what you will hear is a short little paragraph that's very descriptive, and then a little haiku. So you'll hear the pauses. River. We drive to the end of the lane in an old Ford truck. There, a gravel pit gapes like a hungry mouth, and a charming metal gate ushers us into the farthest corner of pasture, where we get our first glimpse of rushing water. Its music wafts over us as we gaze at the zigzag design, artistry of the current that devours the edges, carves the land. Water over rocks, sweet lullabies beckon, a crayfish sleeps. On my new pony, I gallop over the hilly path as if on a roller coaster. At the crossing where cattle hooves have worn away the bank, I tie Lady to a tree, remove shoes and socks, step into the cold caress of rapids. My feet are magnified as I open arms to sky and possibility. Afternoon heat, shrill buzzing in high branches, cicadas find mates. On hot summer days, my friends and I ride bareback in bikinis, grime and hair of sweaty horses stuck to inner thighs like bathtub rings. At the river, our steeds plunge agreeably into swirling eddies. We wrestle each other off our mounts, kick up confused turtles and darting frogs. Exhausted and cool, we rest in the shadow of a giant oak. Our horses shake dry like dogs, graze contentedly despite the flies at which they nip and swish wet tails. Grandmother Oak casts her cool shadow, a crow in her hair. On the farther side of the river, new growth stands in oak and birch, hosts squirrels and birds in abundance. It is there I build a teepee fort of long branches, a shelter and hideout, a new destination. Beside it along the bank, wild plums grow in abundance. When at last they are large and succulent, I savor them in small bites. Setting sun reddens, heavy on the horizon, a ripe, wild plum. Fighting at home compels me to distance myself from the house. Alone, without my equine companion, I watch the ground pass swiftly under my feet until I stand in the cool rush of the stream, cry, scream. Before long, my hopelessness subsides, as if carried away on the current. Watching bubbles float under the fence and out of sight, I
am restored. A warbler lands between properties, slight bend of barbed wire. Some days I wander far beyond our land, squeezed between strands of rusty barbs until I am in unknown territory. Unaware of whose farm I've encroached upon, I follow the river, bounce on logs suspended across, catch snakes and tadpoles for fun. I am so far from home that I come to a bridge, a road. It is there I turn around, nervous that someone will see me trespassing. After once again leaving civilization, I eat my sack lunch in the company of someone else's cattle. Cows stare sleepily in my direction. Silence, our mutual friend. Autumn leaves and gravity pulls weakened leaves from their trees. Like hundreds of scattered puzzle pieces, they are tossed. Some fall in the river. I watch each lonely leaf float by until it rounds the bend downstream or congregates with others as it sinks, creating clusters that get stuck between rocks. Mosaics of color arranged on the riverbed. Who is the artist? When snow is deep, my mare lifts legs high to clear her knees, then plunges another hoof into the unknown. Bells around her neck jingle as she labors to take me to the crossing where the frozen river holds us both. I clear off a circle, peer down at bubbles suspended in time, at pebbles polished in ice. Beneath a frozen river, within its stillness, an echo is heard.
Wow. We just heard from Shelley Getten with her poem River from Of Cows and Crows. Shelley, how old are you in these scenes, this transformative process going up the river, trespassing, so to speak, across around the bends and then even into winter?
This is kind of a span of time and obviously of seasons, this poem.
Sure.
And I will tell you before I answer the question, this highbund form of poetry was really key to this, to any of this working for me, because these were all ideas in different poems that weren't working in and of themselves at all. And I was reading Basho's travel journals, which were written in this format. So if you can find a copy of that, it's really interesting. And I was just inundating my head with all of this kind of form, and that's how it came together. Like, I just started piecing it together. And I was probably 12, maybe, I mean, 10 to 12, 13, you know, I just would get lost, you know, in there. The land wasn't really that big. Going back now as an adult, 160 acres is big to many of us, but,
sure.
You know, I would love to go back there and just kind of get permission and just tool around and check out these.
I used to get lost in a little bit of suburban wilderness, like a cul-de-sac of four acres.
Right.
Shelley, so I understand that 160, and then especially wandering up river or down river to other neighbors. Yeah,
I was probably preteen and I just loved being out there, as I still do, you know, like being outside and in the woods and just out in nature. That was very much what I needed.
Yeah, the vividness of it and the practicality of some of it, building a fort, but then, you know, it being a place for you to release your scream. I mean, serve many purposes. This is a pretty cheap arena of therapy here, right? If you could walk out to it, it was there for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So I digress, though. Almost all of your poetry, Shelley, it seems, either, you know, it's speaking to landscapes. Sometimes they might be interior landscapes, but boy, you want to tell us a little bit about, has your writing always profoundly been about the scope of landscapes, whether they're, you know, natural or not? I mean, some people would argue that farming makes, this is transformed land, but this is what you experienced in great beauty.
Thank you. I'm trying to think of all the poems I've ever written. My other manuscript sitting at home waiting to be finished.
Yeah, can you sum them all up in about 10 words or less?
No, so I do have quite a few poems about, like, when I was pregnant and being a mother, and I have some of those poems.
Sure.
But then I have way more poems about nature and about moving up here and why moving to the North Shore itself was such a wonderful thing in inspiring the art of poetry, you know, and my visual art as well. I just, you know, it's so inspirational. And I would go outside and write the poems there. Like some of, I'm trying to think, like some of these river pieces might have literally been written there. Like I would have had a notebook with me. There's a poem in that back of my Agate's book that has a description of me sitting by the duck pond. And I absolutely did that. I even as a little kid, I brought paper with me everywhere I went. So,
and you held on to it. I would have lost it on the way back home.
Well, you know, I don't know if I actually had the piece of paper, but the idea was still there. You know, the memory was still there. So that's where all this stuff comes from. And yeah, I'm working on a manuscript right now about being up here, and it's called Growing Wild. So, working title.
I've been hogging the questions for our guest. Michaela, any observations or questions for Shelley?
Yeah, I have too many. But I just find a lot of connection with Shelley's story and have similar themes throughout my life as well, how nature has connected me to my inner landscapes, how I've been healed, especially by moving up to the North Shore, and just feeling the space around us can hold us for whatever we need it to be. Like you said, Leo, we just need to go out there. And it's Mother Nature is always there with an open arm, open arms for us to just experience our emotions, what it's like to be a young kid. Oh, that was hard. So
I
like nature for many of those things. And Shelley's also kind of talking about the observation process that she had when she was feeling her creative energy too. You know, that takes dedication to capture that, but you have to put time in and lay the space for that. And so that's cool. That's something I'm personally working on as well. You have to kind of foster the
Absolutely.
Energy for this stuff to actually come out on paper.
Right.
And that's a lot of energy, like inner energy work that people might not realize. So,
well, I'm hoping this energy and imaginative force that we're experiencing in the room here today that's heard by a few listeners, but I want to ask about opportunities for folks that might want to hear more from Shelley. Do you have some gigs and or opportunities, events to give people a heads up on?
I am reading at the Two Harbors Library in February, and I apologize. I believe it's the 10th, but you can check the library schedule. I'll be reading there, and hopefully there'll be a few other readings coming up that I have in the pipeline, don't have dates for yet, but I'm trying to get around to libraries and some other bookstores. I also have a writing class that I'm doing on Zoom that begins January 29th, and it is poetry, so Wednesday evenings for 8 weeks. You can register for that. It'll be a small group, so it will fill up. If you're interested, I would register quickly. It's at my website, gettingcreative.com. And you can go to shop classes. And
Let's just check in here for a second. And getting creative is a nice pun, but can you want to spell getting?
Sure, yeah. Okay. So my last name being Getten, my husband's name that I took, it's G-E-T-T-E-N. Creative, creative.com. And then you can actually sign up for the class there. So I'm really looking forward to the class. It's called Elements of Poetry. And a lot of times, I mean, it's going to be a neat community, I'm hoping, of people who want to learn more about poetry or even people at an intermediate level who just want to work on honing their poems and looking at them a little bit more critically and deeper. So, yeah.
And you have room for up to a certain number of people, and
so far
there's still room?
There's still room.
Good.
I'm not taking any more than 10 people because we want to keep it very intimate. It's a Zoom class. I don't want to have to scroll between pages to find people. I'm just going to do it one screen.
Yeah, you would like to be focused on the subject rather than your moderation of a Zoom session.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. So yeah. we are short on time, I'm afraid, for today. So I want to turn to Michaela and say, yes, what do we need to know?
I wanted to tell you about two programs that hopefully Shelley will be involved with both. But Shelley's going to be at the Two Harbors Public Library January 17th for our youth library program. We're having a moth party, dance party. This was a requested program by some of my kiddos. So we're going to just have a fun time making some bookmarks with Shelley's prints and learning about moths. So if you can wear black, anything that will glow under a black light. Then February 13th at the library, 5 to 6 p.m., me and Emily at the library are hosting a nature poetry reading, which I will be inviting Shelley to. But maybe this is a time for you to come share a poem or come listen to poetry or read a poem that you like. So that is coming up in February. We'll announce that again later.
Marvelous. And we will get the details on exactly when your library reading is, Shelley, and make sure we put it in our community events. And likewise, Michaela, if you let us know about those couple of events, we will get them to the radio audience, at least. That'll get you some people. We're ending an interesting, delightful edition of Wandering Nature News. And Shelley, do you have anything you would consider reading us out with?
Oh, were we going to have Michaela read one?
Oh, okay.
Out of my first book, which is a chapbook. It's a smaller volume. And I think...
It's called In Search of a Poem.
Okay. They'll get it. But I think... I'll say something about it.
Sure. I'll just say I just read this poem before we started. It's kind of, I'm searching for these poems, right, to actually come out of my head and onto the paper. So I will go ahead and read. Could I find it here, near the woods, in a bed of wildflowers? It might be hidden, camouflaged, a tiny green worm, eating its fill of leaves, or a large caterpillar spinning its cocoon. Perhaps I must look more closely, get down on my knees to find it dangling from a stem, swaying in the slight breeze. If I stay a while and do not move, I will see its complex eyes looking out at me.
Read by Michaela Rice, a poem by Shelley Getten, and your notes on that, observations?
Well, I was just going to say a lot of times when I'm writing about, you know, animals and stuff out in the woods, you do feel like they're watching you, like you're the observed rather than just the observer. So I have a couple poems kind of about that. But
yes.
This poem was also turned into chamber music back in the Twin Cities. A composer wrote music for it. It was performed quite around like the five-state area. So, yeah, it's pretty fun. You can see the dangling worm, and then there was like a flute going. It was really fun.
Wow.
Watching it. I've tried to put it on my website, but I have to figure out, maybe you can help me format it properly so I can do that. But
the magic of the interdisciplinary approach to art.
Yeah, that's always fun.
We need lots of that. That's a thing of joy. Well, that's what I have for Wandering Nature News for this time around, and we will be sure to have some more poetry from Shelley Getten as time goes by. It's been too long.
And can I say books should be available at Back 40 Books. If you don't have a book yet, if you'd like one before the library reading, you can go down there and grab one up.
Good information. Michaela, any send-off to folks this chilly, chilly day in mid-January?
I'll say my one naturalist PSA. Please watch out for owls while you're driving on Highway 61. And please just consider telling folks that may be in town visiting that these owls are down here because they're hungry and they need to find food. So when we stand and watch them, they're not finding food while they're being watched. So just keep that in mind. You know,
I have a horde of local birders who are observing a boreal owl. Should I be telling them this?
Yeah, the owls aren't hunting when people are around.
Okay.
Because the owls can't hear. And many of them are so hungry that they're not going to expend energy to even fly away.
That is a pretty important reality check. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Michaela. It's really hard for me to have to give that. But these owls are so precious. You know, they're really inspiring to me. So it's just, yeah, we got to be careful.
That's a cautionary note. We want to see these owls again. They're not here for to be putting on a show for us, shall I say?
Yeah, it's literally survival for them right now. So
thank you, Michaela. Mm-hmm. Always appreciate the perspective you bring. And we will, I guess, see you soon on the radio on Wandering Nature News.
Next month, we'll have some fun stuff to talk about, I'm sure, by then. So stay warm, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Shelley, for coming in and sharing so much with us.
Thank you for having me today. It was fun.
All right. This is Leo signing off for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio.